I want you to imagine, as we transition into the message, imagine that you're going to get a month-long vacation overseas, anywhere that you can want to go, all right? Some of you are thinking, all right, I like this, okay? You're going to be gone for a month. You're going to go and have a great time, but you need somebody to look after your house. So you ask your trusty next-door neighbor to mow your yard, feed your animals, clean out the litter box, collect your mail, all of these things, right? Maybe it's a trusted friend. Maybe you don't know your neighbors well enough to let them walk into your house to do those things. But regardless, you found somebody that while you're over there, you don't have to worry about your house. You're going to enjoy your 4 weeks of vacation. So you write the instructions down and you leave them on the kitchen counter. You send an email to them with the instructions that say, hey, this is what needs to be happened. And then as you're about to board the plane, you decide to send those same instructions via text message just to make sure that they got them. Right? A month away from your house is a long time. I was gone for 9 days one time, and I came home to a pool of water in my house, thanks to a concrete slab leak, and I'm grateful that I had somebody who was looking after my house that discovered that water when I got there, right? So it's a long time to be away from home. A lot of things could go possibly wrong, so you want to make sure these things are covered. You go, enjoy your vacation, you come back, you pull into the neighborhood, and you immediately notice that something is not right about your house. Your mail is literally falling out of the mailbox. Your yard has not been mowed in a month. So you have fear of what the inside of your house looks like. You ask them to let your dogs out, clean the litter box, and you walk in, and you can tell that the dogs are not let out on a consistent basis. That the litter box definitely hadn't been cleaned out, and that many of your personal belongings were now shredded because these dogs were bored. So you immediately walk over to your neighbor's house, or you call your trusted friend and say, did you not get my instructions of why we were gone? And they say, oh yeah, we got them. And man, they were really helpful. In fact, you told us to mow your yard, pick up your mail, clean out the litter box, and let your dogs out on a consistent basis. Now, how would you feel if they recited back your instructions, but yet nothing was done that you asked them to do? The instructions were a guideline for action. You went on this vacation expecting people to do what you've asked them to do, and you've given them instructions to do it. Well, in our spiritual walk with Jesus, many times we do the very same thing. We can quote his word, we can tell him what we're supposed to do, but yet our lives do not reflect it. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 27. James is writing his epistle to the Jewish believers. Most likely these believers were scattered about in different places. James had kind of established himself as the leader of the Jewish community, of the Jewish Christian community. And so he wrote to them a series of things in this epistle about how one should live their new life, this kind of Christian behavior, this authentic faith, genuine religion, genuine faith, genuine wisdom. He talked about their speech. He talked about the law of love. He talked about wealth. He talked about trials and persecution. So in the first part, he opens the letter by talking about trials and persecution. And here is what you can expect as believers when trials and persecutions come. This is how you need to respond. This is what you can expect. And then he transitions to talk about sin and how it basically comes to life in your life. And if you're not aware of it, he makes you aware of it. And then he talks about this new birth that we have. And in verse 19, he switches gears to talk about this action that comes from this new birth that has taken place in your life. This relationship with Jesus has begun to transform you. A new life has been given to you. And so now there's some actions that need to follow, and that's where we're going to pick up in verse 19 through 27. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself, has gone away, and he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks of himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Two really major important things, really, that I want to share with you, I think they're pretty obvious as you read the text, is about the Word of God. James is focused solely upon the Word of God in this passage of Scripture. And I think when we hear the words, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, we automatically revert to our relationship with each other. And I think that that's true. I think we have to practice that in our relationship with each other. But James is clear here that he's talking about the Word of God. And that we first, this main point here, is that we need to receive the Word of God. And how do we receive it? Quick to hear. See, learning is, there's a sense of slow learning. So when you learn something, sometimes it takes time. But when it comes to action, there's this expectation that it's going to be quick, right? And James wants the action of hearing the Word of God to be quick. You need to hear the Word of God quickly. It needs to be something that when the Word of God takes place, your ears perk up. You're ready to listen. It's this idea of active listening. We often hear this all the time. Some of you in here will probably hit the person next to you because they say they're listening to you, but it's not active listening, right? Yeah, I've been there, okay? Active listening, where you're engaged in a conversation with someone and you're actively listening to what they're saying. And they can tell when you're actively listening. And in our relationship with God as believers, we are to be quick to listen to the Word of God. It looks maybe like this, that the idea here is that we're not just refraining from speaking, but that we're actively listening, and that this word quick implies a sense of readiness, that I am ready and eager to hear from the Word of the Lord. So on Sunday mornings when you roll into church, are you eager to hear a word from the Lord? When your alarm goes off at 5 a.m. in the morning, do you get out with the sense of eagerness and readiness to hear a word from the Lord? Quick to hear. There is great wisdom in those who are quick to hear. They will not be easily led astray, but will rather walk in the wisdom that God grants to those who are quick to listen. Too many people talk too much. Now, some of you might be like, what are you talking about? When I sit down with God, I'm not like having this like out loud conversation. But how many times you open up your Bible and your mind is already having a conversation about something else that's going to be somewhere later? And see, that's why James followed it with be slow to speak. Because sometimes what we tend to do is just start talking the moment God's word starts being discussed. And sometimes that's because he addresses it in just a few moments where we get to it. Is that because we don't really like what the Word of God shows about our lives, and so we start talking to compensate for what God's trying to do through his word in us. And so it's like, oh, let's not go there. Hey, can we talk about like what that other guy in the passage was doing, right? Like we don't want to go where God's taking us. We start talking to distract. We've all been in conversations like that, where it's like, oh, I don't really want to get in this conversation. So we just start talking to get away from that conversation. And if I was asking you to be honest, everybody in this room has done that. And so slow to speak is this idea of this. To be slow to speak means that we are silent until we've understood God's word and applied his message to our lives. Now think about that. That's a long time not to talk. Sometimes it might be quick, but for some of us, to understand what God is saying means we have to be silent enough to hear what he has to say. One commentator asked this question, that you should ask this question, have I listened enough to know that what I have said was heard? Have I listened enough to know that what I have said was heard? Sometimes we just talk in our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. And James is like, hey, you need to be quick to listen, but you need to learn the craft of being slow to speak. Because when you're slow, when you talk so much, that often leads to anger. And the reason why I talk about this is because when we get angry, which some of us probably don't like, but it's this uncontrolled or this temper inside of us that just kind of is emotional and kind of comes out. And oftentimes, this chatty talk in our lives becomes this anger inside of us. And when it's in this idea of the Word of God, it typically becomes when the Word of God confronts a sin in our life that we are not ready and willing to get rid of. And so we start talking to move away, God away from it because we think we can do that. And then eventually we just kind of get angry with the whole situation and we're like, and so it kind of blows up. We begin to have this bitterness and this hatred in our hearts because it's like, why is the pastor speaking about that today? Why is the Sunday school about that? Why? It's like, I can't get away from it, right? We tend to fight back. That's our natural response, is to fight back and to push back in some of those areas by talking much and then becoming angry. And so James says to be slow to anger is this, that it ultimately keeps us from living out our lives in the way God intended. That anger in itself, when it comes to life, it keeps you from living and hearing from the Word of God. So James doesn't want somebody to get to a point that they become angry, and he understands that the way we keep anger in check is by controlling our tongue. And so to be slow to anger warns against the hostile or bitter feelings. These often come when we are confronted by the Word of God, but have sin and pride in our life, so we speak up and become angry quickly. The righteous life that God intends His believers to live avoids anger. So He wants us to be quick to listen to God's Word, slow to speak, and sure, these relate to our relationship with each other. I think they need to be practiced, but they also need to be in your relationship with God. You can't practice them with a relationship with each other if you're not practicing these with God. Right? If it doesn't happen with our Creator, then it definitely isn't going to happen with our family and our friends and our peers. And then he takes it a step further when he talks about receiving the Word of God. He says this, put aside all filthiness and all that remains wicked in the world. It's the idea that believers, once we become a believer, we just don't figure it out. That every day we're challenged to put on Jesus Christ and put off our old lives. It happens all the time. And James knows that. And James says, one of the reasons why people don't hear the Word of God is because they have filthiness in their life. The word filth here is an idea of this concept of moral filth. That there are things in this culture that have entered our life and they're causing us to trip up and to fall down and fall over. And so we've given in to these things and these evil desires and these fleshly desires in our lives. And so what James is saying is one of the reasons why people don't hear the word of the Lord is because they're not putting off this filthiness in their life. And it's a metaphor of a garment, removing a garment that's dirty. Listen, I don't like to be dirty. Man, if I get dirt on my hands, it's how fast can I get to the bathroom to wash my hands, right? And having babies and they spit up on you, it's like, oh, I get to the office sometimes and I'm like, I didn't even see that, right? And I'm like, oh. I mean, ask Laura. I don't like to be dirty. I mean, spit up comes out and I'm like, all right, okay, right? Because I just don't. Nobody likes to wear filthy clothes. We all know what it's like to put on new clothes and how great it feels. We all like new sheets, right? We don't like to sleep in filthy sheets. It's nice to have clean stuff. But yet in our lives, too many times, believers keep their filthiness on. And James says, if you can't hear the word of the Lord, it's gonna be hard for you to receive the word of the Lord when you have filthiness and evil in your life. So put it off. Progress in our spiritual life is dependent upon the attitude of repentance. And James was calling the believers here to repent of the sin that was in their life. Put it off. I mean, if you look at it in verse 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of the wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. He doesn't just want us to put off the filthiness. He wants us to receive the word that's been implanted in us the day we became a believer. The gospel planted its seed. The word of God planted its seed in our hearts the day we became believers. And James knows that in order for that to continue to grow and cultivate, we have to put off this stuff. We have to live with an attitude of repentance. And the progress of our spiritual lives is our attitude of repentance. That we will repent of our sin, this filth in our life, so that we can hear from the word and begin to move and see the transformation and change that he desires to do in our life. All filthiness is to be put aside. He's calling all readers to repentance. But he doesn't just want to put off the filthiness. There's a greater goal in mind, and that's to receive the word that's been implanted. So let me explain that to you. The word describes the gospel as the seed rooted in the heart of a believer. It grows best when Christians receive its message warmly and cultivate its presence in their life. I know too many Christians who received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And the moment they did that, they closed up His Word. And they haven't cultivated it. They don't continue to receive it. And what has happened is because of that, it all goes together. Filthiness has come into their life and sin has got them entrapped. And James is like, listen, you got to throw those things off. You got to have the Word in your life. It's got to cultivate. It's got to be received warmly every day. I'm convicted when I sit down next to someone who I can tell that, man, they receive the Word of God every day. I mean, it saturates their life. And it comes out in the fruit that's produced in their life. And man, I sit next to them in conviction because it is just a cultivating machine, what is happening in their life. And I desire that in my own life. And I think too many of us get satisfied with casually reading God's Word and not warmly accepting it and allowing it to cultivate in our lives. A commentator says this: the implanted Word of God must be received even though it is already present within the self. The dynamic Word must be heard as God speaking presently to the believer. God may be heard through the preaching, rereading of a familiar text. Receiving the Word in this sense is not entirely passive, but entails an active concentration on that which has already determined the faith of a believer. Through the receiving of the Word again, renewal and deepening of faith can occur. Rather than speaking to God about what we feel is best, the wise believer listens to the Lord as He speaks through His Word. And we receive the Word. We must be a people who receive His Word daily. Not just on Sunday mornings casually in a pew, or Sunday mornings in a Sunday school class, or in a small group Bible study on Wednesday night, but daily we must be a people who receive God's Word by being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Allow it to cultivate in your life, to become, begin to produce the fruit that God has intended it to produce. And then it leads us to the second main point of the text, which is this: to apply the Word of God. James tells us in verse 22, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers of the Word who delude themselves." So James implores his audience, and even us today, to not just be people who hear the Word of God, but we are people who do the Word of God. I think, and James was concerned with it too, that too many people sit on pews or in chairs and soak it up as sponges, and not very many of us are being wrung out. That we receive the Word of God and we warmly kind of take it in, but it is not being lived out in our lives. And listen, it's self-deceiving to pat yourself on the back and talk about how much Scripture you know. I know a lot of people, some even great people in life, who pat themselves on the back because of how much Scripture they know, but yet they don't live anything that they say out. That they can quote Scripture to you, but yet you ask them, when's the last time you lived that out? They can't tell you the last time. It's self-deceiving to say, hey, it's great to have this knowledge. It does no good to have the knowledge of God if we don't live it out. God's Word was never meant to be stale. It's active. And active means action. And so when we receive the Word of God, we have to be a people who live it out, who apply it to our lives. Right? I believe this is the truth, that if believers faithfully lived out the Word of God on a consistent basis, that we would have revival in this country that we so long for. But too many people are just taking in the Word and not applying it to their lives. Listen, James could have just left it at, be quick to hear God and listen to God and receive His Word, but he didn't. He took it a whole lot further and even gave us some very practical application illustrations to drive this point home. In verse 23, he gives a negative one. And in verse 24, he gives a positive one, right? Verse 25, he gives a positive illustration. So let's talk about the negative one. "For if anyone here is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he merely forgot what kind of person he was." I think it's silly to think that all of us, if we looked in a mirror and saw that we had something smeared across our face, that we would walk out into public like that. Now, sometimes that happens, but it's probably because nobody looked in the mirror, right? But if we looked in the mirror and saw that, if I looked in the mirror and saw baby spit up all over my shirt, I'm not going to the office like that. You wouldn't do that either. If you got dirt smeared on your face from being out at a job site, and you get in the car and look in the rearview mirror, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get that off, right? No one wants to go out like that once they've seen what's the imperfection. But yet in our spiritual lives, what James is saying is there's a lot of people who casually glance at God's Word. They read it for 3 minutes a day, look at it, close it up, and never at once intended to do what it said. And you are like the person who looks in the mirror, sees what's wrong, but yet you move away and you quickly forget about it. See, James's audience would not have been reading the Scripture like we do today. But rather, they would have heard the Word proclaimed over and over again until they had memorized it, right? I mean, this is an audience that they didn't necessarily have a written copy of the Bible like we are holding in our laps right now. And so they would have had to hear this over and over and over. Think about how many times you have to hear something before it kind of you start to catch on. So they've had to hear this. And so James is like, you guys are hearing this repeated over and over and over and over again. But yet some of you are like people who look in a mirror and see that you got dirt on your face, but yet you walk away and forget what you look like. Yet you do that with the Word of God. You're hearing it to the point you're memorizing it, but yet you're not, it's not translating to your everyday life. The verbs looking and forget picture something that is natural or repeatedly occurs. And the word go away pictures casualness and immediacy, that once he is gone, that he forgets. So that we casually look in the mirror and it's immediately that we forget. So, you know, if they translate this to our faith today, if we casually look at God's Word, then guess what? We will forget it. This generation of students is supposedly one of the most biblically illiterate generations. But the church today might have to claim that title too. We just don't know our Word anymore, the Word anymore. We've casually moved to just being something that we look at when we have a free moment. And it hasn't become a discipline in our life to know God's Word and to apply what it says. Some people, maybe some of us, casually look at God's Word without letting it cause any change in our life. And when this happens in our lives, we're like a person who looks in a mirror quickly, and the flaws go unnoticed or unchanged. As Christians, we have to have an attitude of seriousness and submission to the Word of God that leads to obedience. A commentator says this, "The mirror God uses shows us our inner self in the same way our mirror at home shows our external state. Both mirrors reflect what is really there. Something is not right. When we see something that is not right and needs to be corrected, we should listen and respond in obedience. There are two mistakes we make when we casually look at God's Word. We downgrade its importance and we ignore its message." And James doesn't just camp on the negative. He tells us this is who you should be. And in verse 25 he says, "But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." James uses the word of God in verses 18 through 24. But in verse 25 he interchanges the word the law of God, the perfect law of God, which brings freedom. And it brings freedom because it's focused upon the goodness of God. And James says, the type of person that we should be is the one who looks intently at the perfect law. Well, what does it mean to look intently? A sense here is of an intense looking into Scripture for the purpose of self-change. It's careful attention to Scripture and then the areas of your life that need transformation. God's Word is in the business of transforming our lives. When we read it, it convicts us. Hebrews tells us that. That it penetrates to the core of who we are. And so when we spend time in God's Word, and when we intently look at it, guess what's going to take place? Transformation and change. And we need to be a people that literally the binding of our Bible should be falling off, because this is something we are intently looking at on a consistent basis. Our students probably get tired of me hearing talk about the importance of reading their Bible. And I tell them all the time, if you just get in the habit of intently looking at Scripture now, you won't be when you're an adult, you won't be chasing finding your quiet time. Make it a priority now to be intently in the Scripture. Why do we look intently in there? We must be the one who makes looking intently into God's Word make it our lifestyle and obey what it says. Do you want to be the one who's known that has a desire to learn? Do you want to be the one who takes what he learns and continues to apply it to his life, no matter his age or circumstance? Do you want to be the person who forgets what they hear and totally disregards the importance of God's Word in the life of a believer? And James answers the question of why we should do this. He will be blessed in what he does. Now, I don't believe we do things to earn God's blessing, but what it is promised is this, that Jesus himself in Luke 11 said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and obey it." And in Psalm 1, 1 through 3, it summarizes that blessing for us when it says, "They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." I'm telling you right now, schools, workplaces, neighborhoods, communities, states, countries, and the nations can be changed if people would receive the Word of God on a daily basis and apply it to their lives. Because God promises that when His Word is applied and lived out, it will prosper. And in verse 26 and 27, James gives these very practical application of applying the Word of God to your life. And let me read them. "If anyone thinks of himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." One of the key factors of this all is the bridling of your tongue, is the controlling of your tongue as a believer. gossip, slander, speaking poorly of other people, right? Just going off of emotion and not using godly wisdom. If we don't control our tongue, then we're not applying the Word of God. James gives a whole chapter of that, and I won't preach that sermon tonight. You can read James chapter 3 and learn about the tongue. He follows that up with this, that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James tells us that the Word of God affects our conduct and our character. And he uses orphans and widows as an illustration. And some people might say, well, how do I live out my faith? Maybe for you, maybe you need to look at those in our congregation or in our community that are powerless. And you need to reach out to them. Show them light and love and apply the Word of God by ministering to them. Maybe your family can identify a widow or a widower and you can begin ministry to them. Maybe you can help with the 11,000 kids in foster care. Literally, you can take orphans and widows and make it a practical application in your life. Or maybe it's just more than that. You need to take a step back and see, God, where is it that I need to start putting this into play in my life? What do I need to do today to take the Word of God and put it into play? When's the last time you showed up to church on a Sunday morning that you came with the eager expectation to hear God's Word and you plan to walk out and apply it to your life? Church, how are your listening skills when it comes to the Word of God? For some of you, is there any filth in your life or evil desire that's in your life that you need to put off? What do you need to do today to apply the Word of God to your life? God, James insisted on an obedience that lasts. It wasn't a one-time thing and it wasn't delayed. He wants an obedience that lasts. That's what he was calling the believers to do. And I believe when God used those words to speak to us today, to be quick to hear his word, to put off the filth in our life, and to be doers of his word. May that be said of this congregation. Let's pray. Hey, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's take just a moment and contemplate those questions. Ask yourself this evening, how are my listening skills when it comes to the Word of God? Do I have an eagerness and a readiness? Am I quick to hear? Ask God to show you any filthiness or evil desire or wickedness in your life that needs to be put off, that you need to take off and cast aside so that you can receive His Word. How's your application of God's Word? Are you a sponge that's soaked up so much, but yet you've never been wrung out? Are you the person who looks in a mirror and quickly walks away and forgets what you look like? Or are you the person who intently looks at the Word of God and does what it says? In just a moment, I'll pray, and when we stand and sing, probably the greatest response from any of you will be to stand up and sing the song of invitation. Maybe some of you need to come and kneel at the altar and ask the Lord to forgive you and repent of some sin in your life and put it off and lay it at the feet of Jesus and be done with it forever. And some of you might need to ask the Lord to show you what you need to do this week to apply the messages that you've heard on this Lord's Day or what you'll hear tomorrow when you wake up and spend time with the Lord. But you need His wisdom to help you apply it to your daily life. And so you might need to sit where you're seated and pray. You might need to come and kneel at the altar. Some of you might be here and you want to join the church, and we'll have ministers up front to receive you. And some of you might even hear us talking about this relationship with God and receiving the Word. And God's calling you into a relationship with Himself tonight. You can come forward and talk to one of our ministers. Jesus, thank you so much for the truth that's found in your Word. God, may the people in this room be hearers of your Word, quick to listen. Not to become defensive when you begin to show us things in our life that defensiveness causes us to speak too much and we miss what you're asking us to do or what you're calling us to do, and then it might lead to anger and resentment towards you. And God, I pray that everybody in this room would have an open heart, would be good soil to receive your word warmly every day, and that God, you would cultivate in them a desire to apply that word to their life. And that God, that no matter their age or circumstance or what may happen, that God, that you would be faithful to lead them and direct them because of their faithfulness to live out your word, to be obedient immediately. And God, I pray through those practical applications that James gives us to watch our tongue, to look after orphans and widows and not be stained by the world, that our character and conduct would be a reflection of you, because of the word that has been implanted in our lives and has been cultivated to produce good fruit. Thank you for your word and the truth found in it and how it transforms our lives. Now may we be hearers of what we've heard and doers of what we've heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.